end of the month, three closings in a day.
It's always a good day.
Starts out that way. First time home buyers, immigrated to America in the last couple of years. Moved from Minnesota 6 months ago. I was shopping for about 2.5 months. Finally get a property. Seller's been a pain in the butt the whole time. Decides on closing day to keep his phone completely off. Shows up the title first thing in the morning, 9 a.m. Scheduled closing at about 11. Shows up 2 hours early. And when the title company tells him, hey, we're just not ready for you quite yet, he decides to go out on the town, turn off his phone. No care in the world. I don't know how he does it, right? But so it's 3 o'clock. My buyers are walking into closing. And I got to break them the news that, hey, we can't buy these sellers.
I feel like that's common sense. If you're selling a house, you should probably be there to sell it. That's a large amount of money going into your pocket that you're responsible for. At least all you got to do is sign on the dotted line.
We're giving you $200,000+.
You know, common sense ain't common. Like, that is just...
How, in 2019, how does a sane person turn off their phone and not have a panic attack?
That's true, too, because if I don't have my phone, I feel like I'm naked, and it's like I'm missing an arm or a leg. Or that's just, yeah. Wow. Wow. That's a good one. That's a hypothetically, you have a good day with three closings, but I can see how that would, you know, make it a little bit of a challenge.
It was fun.
That was good, man. Well, anyways, let's jump into it. Welcome to the Metroplex podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Jewel.
I'm Mark.
Mark forgot his name. And this is episode 2 of this little podcast that we have here. For those of you that have listened to us before, welcome back. For you newbies out there who are listening for the first time, we are glad that you decided to come spend a little bit of time with us. Purpose of this podcast is to become your top resource for all the happenings and developments around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We have a lot going on this week, so let's jump right into it, Mark.
There's insane developments coming out left and right in North Texas.
It's been a busy week in DFW. So many developments coming. I'm kind of excited. I'm like nervous. There's a lot of people that are going to have to move to fill that, although we're no shortage of that. But there's one in Frisco coming up, right?
Absolutely, man. So we had the $5 billion mile that got released last couple of months. That's already underway.
Yep.
The Star's done, right? Everyone's flocking to the Star. Have you been over there, by the way?
I have been to the Star. The Star is great. Like, I love it. It's really new. They're still building around it. So, you know, there's not like a tremendous amount of traffic yet, but that whole complex and the whole stretch is going to be crazy.
Pretty bougie though too, right?
Super bougie. Definitely a bougie part of town for all you folks out there in the Frisco area. You're bougie, you're fancy, you're out there in Jerry World number 2.
I was about to say Jerry.
Yeah.
Makes sense for Jerry being the owner.
Yeah, you know, hey, whatever. I'll take it versus the opposite.
Right. So here's what's new. So we got the Fields development, man. So it's just a little over 2,000 acres, just 2,500 acres.
Just a little bit.
Right on Dallas North Tollway. It's going to be between Preston Road and 380 all the way along DNT. So they've already sold 480 acres, and that is now going to be the PGA headquarters.
I can't wait for that. I'm a huge golfer. I cannot wait for that to go to tournaments, to play the course, although I'm sure there's some type of ridiculous membership to play it. But that's going to be big. That's going to be really big.
Plus two golf courses.
Two golf courses.
Also an Omni Resort. Omni Resort Hotel. And so they got 2,000 acres left to develop. They just made their pitch to the Frisco board, whatever they're called. I can't think of the word as we speak right now. But so it's going to be about 10,000 homes, up to 18 million square feet of commercial space.
That's ridiculous.
More hotels, green parks. I mean, it's a master plan community, and it's incredible, man. The pictures that are coming out, it's going to be state of the art every which way you look.
Yeah, I mean, Frisco is exploding right now. Just every aspect of Frisco. It's like the hot area in the North Dallas type of like region. And that's going to be massive for it. You know, but that's only like one of the complexes that's being, or like developments that's being built out there right now. You have obviously what's going on in Allen as well. You know, came out on this past Tuesday night that they are building the 261-acre Monarch City development. It's going to be a mixed-use project on the southwest corner of Central North Central Expressway and 121 in Collin County. And that plan calls for 10 million square feet of office space, residential, retail, hospitality. Looking at these pictures, I mean – it's going to be another one of those really high-end, you know, developments. It looks really, really nice and cool. And basically, I was reading this article and said the zoning approval for Monarch City brings a first-class mixed-use opportunity to the Allen community, says Dan Bowman, who is the executive director of the Allen Economic Development Corporation. He said the long-term development plan is a sustainable and planned Central Park and entertainment amenities that are critical to maintaining like Allen's amazing like family suburban quality of life, and it also will create quality jobs that allow our current and future residents to live, work, and play within the same community. So that is a super cool development in Allen. And then even a little bit more south, right in the Valley View Mall area where they are currently doing that revitalization project, Lifetime Villages is coming. They just signed on with Beck Ventures. Basically, the health club chain is bringing, they're kind of getting into the high-end multifamily section with what's called Lifetime Living. So it's a health-based luxury residential experience that will be opening its first locations in Dallas, Vegas, and Miami. And so the first location being in DFW will be in the Midtown Dallas area near 635. And like I said, the Valley View Mall, they are going to put a 390-unit residential community attached to a 190,000 square foot Lifetime Athletic and a 50,000 square foot Lifetime shared workspace concept that is supposed to be arriving by 2022. So basically, they are trying to bring like that world-class Lifetime feel with residences. And then it's also going to include the Lifetime Athletic Resort and Spa. So renters will have access to a variety of one- and two-bedroom apartments with a super sought-after location. I mean, that's right there in the North Dallas corridor, very easily accessible to a multitude of freeways. So a lot of big housing developments going in. Just – it's crazy how fast Dallas is growing. I've been here for this is my sixth year, I believe. And like just in 6 years, Dallas has changed a ridiculous amount.
It's insane. It's insane. But this Lifetime Villages, man, this is going to be like a rich, healthy, athletic person's dream.
A dream, right? Place. Like, you don't even have, I mean, you can walk out of your apartment, you can go to the gym, you can go to the spa, and you can go to like a WeWork style space that all comes as part of your community. Like, that's a win for me. Like, I don't know why I would have to go anywhere else.
Guarantee there's a Whole Foods coming.
And see?
Absolutely. See?
They're winning. They're killing it. But outside of like the big time developments, we also have some other like more fun things that are being built, right? Like that thing out in Windsong Ranch.
Dude, Prosper, man. We're going all over. So we went Frisco to Allen to Dallas 635 back to Prosper. And huge news coming out of Prosper. Some of you might have heard about it. Prosper and Windsong Ranch Development just got the first man-made crystalline lagoon in North Texas. Had their first successful grand opening this past week. And from what we're hearing, this is just the beginning of a trend. So they're thinking 2-3 more of these are going to be coming. And I was really bummed when I first found out that the Crystal Lagoon is a private amenity. So it's only available for the people that live at Windsong Ranch. And so as soon as I saw that it opened up, I was like, I'm there. And then I read the fine print, and I'm like, uh-oh, I got to go buy a house first.
Well, it's interesting. One, when you say lagoon, I don't ever think North Texas. Like, I'm never going to – that's not going to be the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. Second thing, if you're listening out there, you live in Windsong Ranch, you need to hit us up so that we can come check out.
Right?
Because it is massive.
Listen, I'll pay for the food and drink.
Absolutely. Like, we'll bring the beer. We'll bring the stuff to throw on the grill. Let us come hang out at your lagoon.
Seriously. So listen, so 5 acres is the pool. So Crystal Lagoon, for those of you that don't know, it's a pool. It's a massive pool. And it's literally 5 acres big. It's just got, around 10 million gallons of water. And they shipped in 2,600 tons of sand from the beaches of Arkansas.
Look, my thing is like, what kind of person comes up with this idea? Like, hey, I want a pool. No, let's not do a pool. Let's just make a massive 5-acre splash area for people to come swim around. Like, I can't even imagine what it costs to clean that thing.
Oh, several million a year, right?
Oh,
I want to see what those HOA dues are.
I was just going to say, like, how are they paying for this? The HOA, like, why is it private to just that community? Like, I mean, that's a win. Like, that is an absolute upside for trying to get me to buy a house. It comes with a private lagoon that's 5 acres large, but that HOA has got to be pricey.
It's got to be. I mean, it's Prosper, so it's still developing, so the taxes are high, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But, I mean, it looks gorgeous, man.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to get there. I'm definitely going to get into that. And speaking of water parks, there is a new water park that is coming to North Texas. It's called Altitude H2O. It's actually already opened. It was founded in Houston, I believe, and it's now opening in Grapevine on Grapevine Lake in the Meadowmere Park. And they also have two more locations that are coming to Corsicana and Lubbock. Basically what it is, a water park that has inflatable slides, an obstacle course, and a bunch of trampolines on 25,000 square feet of water. And it's open to the public. So you can just go out there. You can take the
kids. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like the perfect place to go this summer. Sounds like a ton of fun. You can take your kids. You can take your friends. And if they're opening a couple more, then it must be doing really well. So that'll definitely be on my list of things to check out this summer out there in Grapevine. So
absolutely, man.
Yeah.
And that lake is gorgeous too.
Yeah, that lake is super pretty. So we kind of talked about all these different developments going on. Obviously that is creating an increase in the homes being built. It's creating an increase in how many people are moving here. So let's touch a little bit on that homes being built piece of it. I know that you had some stats for us that you were researching.
So yeah, I did some research for us. I mean, the first thing to note is, I mean, Dallas and Texas itself is at the forefront of new construction in America, right? East Coast, there's virtually no new construction going on. And Texas is where all the builders are at. And so I was looking through the data and it's insane, man. So Dallas County itself, 17,000 new homes built in this past year.
That's a lot of homes.
He's got 11,000 in Tarrant County.
What?
That's not even talking about the 13,000 in Collin County and the 7,000 in Denton.
So in just those four counties alone, we're talking on like 48,000 homes built in the last 12 months.
Insanity. That's not even talking about Kaufman out in with 40, right? That's blowing up. Rockwall County is blowing up. That's not even counting those little counties.
With that many homes being built, how are they even like filling that? How is it even possible that you have people that can even enough people to be able to buy those type of homes?
So the biggest issue with housing, I think, today is affordability, right?
Right.
And that first time home buyer bracket of homes, let's say 250 and below.
Well, I think a lot of people too also think that it's just they think it's probably home affordability is an issue, but I think a lot of people think that homes are a lot more unaffordable than they actually are.
Absolutely. And so based off of the proprietary data that we get in the mortgage biz through MBS Highway, shout out to Barry Habib. You're the man.
Great team over there.
Incredible data. And so we talked Dallas County, right? 17,000 new homes built. How are we gonna fill those? In Dallas County alone, Joel, we got 272,000 renters that can afford to buy, but are not for one reason or another.
Wait.
272,000.
In Dallas County alone.
Dallas County alone.
Okay, so hold on. When you say people, 272,000 people are renting and can afford to buy, what do you mean by that?
I mean, based off of their income, their credit, and the amount of money that they have, 272,000 people could go out and buy a home this month, but for one reason or another aren't.
That is, that just tells me there's a tremendous lack of education out there and people really understanding how like realistic home ownership is. I mean, that means there's 272,000 people out there that are throwing away their money every single month and are going to have absolutely nothing to show for it when they move out of their apartment. Why?
Just Dallas County alone, dude. So let's talk the rest of the DFW. Tarrant County. 167,000 renters that can afford to buy. Collin County, 61,000 renters that can afford to buy. And Denton, 55,000 renters that can afford to buy.
So we talked about there are 48,000 homes that were built in the last 12 months in those four counties. But in those four counties alone, just doing quick math here, we're at like almost 500,000 people that are currently renting that can afford to buy a house.
It's insanity.
What the heck, people? Why are you renting and throwing your money away?
I don't understand. I mean, I think, like you said, it comes down to education and it comes down to industry professionals going out and explaining this stuff, explaining the buy versus rent and affordability and the fact that you don't need 20% down with perfect credit. I mean, that's what CNBC and CNN and MSNBC are telling these people. And it's just plain false, right? I mean, it sells more articles, it gets more clicks. But at the end of the day, anyone that has a solid income, that has decent credit, can go out and buy a home with down payment assistance. So if you don't have the money to put down 20%, 10%, 5% down, that doesn't mean you can't get into a home.
Yeah,
we've got to teach these people that.
That's just basic.
I mean, it comes back to us, right?
Yeah, it comes back to us, like, fighting the good fight, I like to tell people, and trying to get the information from the people who have it to the people that need it. I stole that from Brad Lee, but I love that slogan. It's just like, there's a lot of misinformation out there. We live in the Google WebMD environment where, you know, you search for a pain in your arm and you're dying. You know, you find out you're going to die in 4 hours. And I think that
I've been there before, man.
Huge amount of misinformation out there does a disservice to people. And you know what's crazy too, like just to continue upon like the same path with how many people can afford to buy. You know that there's a ton of people still moving here to DFW all the time. Like every single
more
day.
More here than anywhere else.
More here than anywhere else. I was looking at these stats from the U.S. Census Bureau. And basically, the trend of the growth of the DFW Metroplex, it just continues to go to the sky. We are dominating the rest of the nation on population growth. From 2017 to 2018, the Census Bureau said that the region of DFW added 361 residents per day. Putting it another way, DFW gained 131,767 residents in just 1 year. That is as if the region absorbed the city the size of, well, Carrollton or Denton every 365 days. Wow. That's a lot of freaking.
Good thing we have space.
Every single day. So no wonder they're building so many houses. Like, that makes a whole lot of sense. I don't think that we're going to have a problem filling that at all. And then the report goes on to say that all in all, the area ranked first in numeric population growth from 2017 to 2018 against all U.S. metro areas with at least 1 million residents. On July 1st, the Bureau counted an estimated 7.4 million residents in the DFW area in 2017. And July 1st, 2018, the area's population stood at 7.5 million and some change. So basically, that's also taking into account all the people moving out of the area, all the births, all of the deaths. And among U.S. counties, Collin County and Tarrant County ranked 4th and 8th, respectively, in population growth on a numerical basis. Collin County spiked 33,000 from 971,000 in 2017 to 1.005 million in 2018. Tarrant County increased by 27,000 from 2.05 million in 2017 to 2.08 million in 2018. So if you think that growth rate is impressive,
1 year.
Consider that the Metroplex leap in population from 2010 to 2018. In that period, DFW ranked first among all U.S. metro areas for population growth. The Census Bureau says that our headcount shot up about 17.3% in that 8-year period, going from 6.4 million people to 7.5 million people in DFW. That's crazy.
Money. And I feel like the people that are moving in, it's not really the retirees that are moving into like Phoenix and
all
over Arizona, right?
No.
These are millennials to 45, 50-year-old, I mean, young professionals.
I mean, you think about all the corporate moves here. You know, I know like Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 companies, we have like 8 moving to the DFW area in the next 18 months or something like that, which is insane. You think about all the people moving and how that may hurt a city, you know, with a lot of different factors, but the amount of growth that's going to come from the job creation on those companies moving, the amount of infrastructure changes that are going to come from that. It's really a great city to live in. I tell everybody, DFW is like the melting pot of the United States. Like, there's a lot of people from here, but a majority of the people that you meet here are not from Dallas. They come from, they're transplants from all over the country. But there's so much opportunity here, and it's such a successful young city that it makes it great for people like us who live here. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of ways to get your hands in a lot of different things, and it's, you know, a cheap flight from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, really, you know, with having American Airlines and Southwest headquartered here, makes travel a little bit easier. So it's just, it's very crazy to me that many people are moving, but it's also encouraging, you know, when you think about economic hardships or like what's to come with this, you know, looming recession, with this many people continuing to move here and this many jobs being created. It makes me wonder, you know, Texas is already kind of sheltered a little bit from the different economic factors on the basis of the entire country. So when this recession happens, I wonder if we're going to be impacted as deeply as, you know, maybe some other parts of the country.
I think we're positioned quite well. I think, like you said, we're really insulating ourselves further and further. And I mean, with Texas equity laws and the 80%, that's why we came out ahead in the last recession, the Great Recession.
Yeah.
That's why Texas wasn't impacted the way that California, Nevada, the Midwest was. I mean, they've positioned themselves as a republic with, in their constitution, that you can't pull out more than 80% of your home's value.
Yeah.
And so you don't have the people like you do everywhere else in the country financing 90-95% doing cash out, which are risky loans, right?
Yeah, that's
and so that's true. So what this all means to me, though, man, with all the housing, with all the people moving in, with all the amenities, we got more people. More people means more cars.
Oh, don't get me started on the amount of people here in Texas and the traffic. It is the worst traffic. If you are from Texas, I'm sorry, you're automatically one of the worst drivers in America. It's just, I knew that. I'm from California, and I knew the Texas drivers are the worst. The traffic here is terrible. They don't know how to merge. And I was looking at this report that came out actually recently from Allstate Insurance. They did a survey of all the top 200 major cities across the country, and guess what? Dallas drivers are 46% more likely to get in an accident on the road than the rest of the United States and falls in the bottom 15% of safe driving records. Does that come as a shocker to you? Doesn't come as a shocker to me.
No, not at all. I laugh because, I mean, it's crazy, and we see it every day, but it's sad at the same time, man. I mean, it's every day that I'm seeing on the news another deadly accident.
It is.
And it's sad.
People cannot drive.
People can't drive.
I'm curious about like what goes down at the DMV in Texas, because like it can't be.
I'm not. That sounds like the worst place in the world.
Well, that it definitely is torture, but I feel like they don't teach. Like, what is the credentials to be able to drive? Like, you have eyes, and you can sit down in a seat, and you know where the key goes. Like, that's basically what it seems like. Dallas narrowly avoided landing on Allstate's riskiest roads list, reserved for the 15 cities where drivers have to be the most careful to not get into an accident. Garland and Irving were among North Texas cities that also ranked in the bottom 15%, trailing Dallas. So Texas leads the nation in traffic deaths. At least one person has been killed on Texas roads every day for the last 19 years, according to the Texas Department of Transportation. It's a streak that the state has been working to end. On average, 10 people are killed on Texas roadways each day. That is sad.
That's astounding, man.
10 people a day. That's crazy. And looking at the stats on where in the top 200 cities across the U.S., where the cities in DFW ranked, you have McKinney at 127. You have Frisco at 135. You have Fort Worth at 139. You have Grand Prairie, 144. Plano, 154. Mesquite, 159. Arlington, 162. Dallas, 172. Garland, 175. And Irving, 180. All of those cities are in the lowest portion out of the top 200 Metroplex cities. That is ridiculous. That's terrible. People, focus on how to drive. You need to get better at driving. Your life may depend on it.
It's insane, man. And I mean, we all know, living in Texas, I mean, we see the posted speed limit, and we all know that we all agree that it's 10 miles an hour higher than what it's posted, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we all do.
This is true.
It was one of my favorite parts about Texas when I moved here. Coming from Baltimore, which is just as bad, if not worse. The problem with Baltimore, though, was no one knew what the rules of the road were. So it would be come to a stop and wait. Whereas here in Texas, it's like, you know that person's going to go.
Yeah, they're not waiting. What? I have to wait.
But if you know that person's going to go, you've got some rules of the road.
Red lights or yellow lights here in Texas, nobody stops. Nobody looks both ways. It's just it's like Mad Max, like, just anything that happens on the road is fair game. Whatever you got to do.
And now they're taking down the red light cameras.
Yeah, they just took those away, which, you know, I'll be completely honest, I'm a fan of that because I've gotten caught by one of those before. Actually, now that I think about it.
Well, they snap pictures whenever they want.
Well, I'm not sure if, now that I think about it, I paid that ticket. So I hope that that got expunged when they got rid of it. You should probably go check on that. Don't want to get pulled over and then get arrested.
No chance, bro.
That's, yeah. You know, I like to live my life dangerously.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, man.
All right. So I want to pivot a little bit. A lot of development, you know, going on in the DFW area. If you want more information, we'll have all of the links to the articles in our show notes so you can dig into each of those things that we talked about. But I want to pivot a little bit because I'm super excited, man. You know what's coming tomorrow?
NBA free agency, man.
NBA free agency! Sunday,
it's
June 30th.
For NBA fans.
Hey, if you're an NBA fan, I know you've got to be excited. 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, the beginning of NBA free agency for the 2019-2020 season. Players will be free to meet with teams starting tomorrow to talk about terms on a contract. However, nobody can sign any contracts until July 6th at noon. Obviously, we've seen the big headlines that have come through. Anthony Davis on the Lakers. I hate that. You know, I love Anthony Davis. I hate the Lakers, and I hate Laker fans even more. So if you're a Lakers fan out there, you're the worst. You are the scum of NBA fandom, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I respect the organization, but the fans, man, it's like the Laker fans are almost as bad as Patriot fans.
We brought me into this, huh?
You know, I just had to. It's just – you know, I got to respect the winning. Tom Brady, you know, that's the GOAT. But it's just the fans. It just I don't get it. Yeah. There's six. I got you. But, like, for Laker fans, they're now being, like, restored to glory now that Kobe, their Black Mamba, Lord of all, saving everything, is gone. Now LeBron comes in. He gets AD. It's like cheat codes. And they just signed – I guess Anthony Davis is going to
have
a $1 million trade exception or something like that. So they have $32 million more to go try and land another superstar. Like, that's ridiculous. But
honestly, as an NBA fan, I kind of like it. I mean, I miss the Lakers being good.
I don't. Like, you know what's funny? When the Lakers got swept by the Mavs, like in 2007, I think it was, I told everybody, I said, it's going to be – no, it wasn't 2007. That would have had to have been 2011. I think whatever the year the Mavs won, I think it was 2011. I told everybody, I was like, it's going to be 10 years before the Lakers are relevant and can win a championship again, and we're knocking on the 2020 –
It was 2011.
2011. So we're 9 years into that going into this season. I think that that's probably – I should go buy a lotto ticket because I think that was a good prediction. Obviously, I don't know who they're going to get. You have Kawhi that's going to be a free agent that he could re-sign or he could leave. If he leaves, he's leaving $50 million on the table. And I was reading –
no chance Kawhi goes to L.A.
I think he's going to go to L.A., but I think it's going to be the Clippers. I don't think that it's going to be the Lakers. And then you have other players. You know, KD and Klay both opted out to become free agents. So we'll see if the Warriors
– I didn't even see that.
Yeah, KD and Klay opted out. Kyrie, obviously, he's a big ticket free agent. Who knows where he's going to go?
Kemba, Kyrie.
Going to your Celtics. That's the front runner right now.
I am so hyped.
I think that'll be an interesting play. I think that he's going to be a better fit for them than Kyrie was for the type of system that they run.
Honestly, goodbye, Kyrie. We didn't even like you, man.
I mean, Kyrie is still – I mean, Uncle Drew is a beast. He's good.
He's a beast. He's a cancer.
Aha. Okay. So not a big fan of Kyrie. You know, obviously my Rockets were trying to figure out how we can do a sign in trade with Jimmy Butler. I would love to add Jimmy Butler to CP3 and Harden. I think that would be great. But I think that's good for balance.
Bring some defense to H-Town.
It brings some defense. You know, we're already right there with Pat, you know, with PJ Tucker and some of our, you know, Eric Gordon. We were actually a decent defensive team, but we'll see what we can add. Obviously, you know, that's going to naturally segue us into what's going on here in Dallas. I'm actually excited to see them become relevant again. They got a lot of young talent.
Right.
You got Kristaps. You got Luka, who just won Rookie of the Year. They have Hardaway Jr., who's also a stud. They're trying to figure out some other type of leadership piece. I heard Al Horford, which, you know, wouldn't be a bad veteran move for them to sign. But
bro, I think Al's like a bad man. Al Horford is – he could be the difference between the Mavs making the playoffs and actually contending. Just Al Horford alone.
I think if everybody comes back healthy, I think that they're going to look really good. I was telling you this earlier. I would buy season tickets. If the Mavs start playing well, yeah. I'm getting season tickets because, like, that's going to be fun basketball.
So will everyone else, though.
Yeah, right, exactly. So get in where you fit in. Obviously, you know, no Dirk, which is fine. It's kind of the passing of the torch, but I think it'll be exciting. They got a good young core. NBA free agency should be freaking wild this year. Stay tuned to that. I'm sure that as we continue to put out episodes, we're going to touch on the big crazy name trades and signings that we have going on. But another big thing going on this week, obviously, we're headed into Independence Day and the 4th of July. What do you have going on?
Bro, I'm still exploring, man. I'm going to be all over the place. It's just my second Independence Day in North Texas.
Okay.
I have been wanting to go to Kaboom Town, and I've been hearing all the horror stories about how bad it is with the amount of people that come in. For those of you that don't know, Kaboom Town in Addison, it's like the third largest fireworks in the country.
Yeah.
So all of Texas and the country floods Addison. But it turns out we can go watch the fireworks straight from our roof, Jewel. So best believe I'm going to be sipping a beer on the roof, enjoying my time on the 3rd. What about you, though?
Not really much going on this weekend. I would love to kind of set off some fireworks and kind of see that. Just because I'm a pyro. I love, things exploding. I love lighting things on fire. So that's kind of like my guilty pleasure. So I'm going to definitely figure out a way to let off some fireworks. For those of you that are looking to kind of find some DFW celebrations in all the cities, Mark, you had a great kind of list of where you could find those things. You want to rattle a couple of big places off?
Yeah, man. So we touched upon Allen. So Allen's got theirs on the 29th. That's today. That's Saturday. Let me see. So we've got Grapevine does theirs. I hear that one's fantastic as well. That's right on the 4th. Southlake does theirs on the 3rd. Frisco's I've been to. They do it. I think they do it both days, don't they? I don't know if you know.
I think they do. They do that, you know, Frisco's in Frisco Square. You got Fort Worth at the Panther Island Pavilion on the 4th at 2. On the 3rd from 5 to 10 at the Botanical Garden. Plano, you got fireworks at 9:30 on July 4th. But they do a celebration all day from 4 to 10 at Oak Point Park. Dallas, obviously, Clyde Warren is a big popular place. They're doing their stuff today. And then you have a 5K on the 4th of July. It's called 5 on the 4th. It's at 8 a.m. from Clyde Warren Park. And then at Fair Park on the 4th, you have all day, like, state fair extravaganza, games, rides, music, fireworks, so on and so forth. So there's a ton of places all around, you know, the Metroplex. McKinney, if you're out in McKinney, they have the Red, White, and Boom Parade at 10 a.m. on the 4th. You have a classic car show at 1, and then you have the fireworks at 9:45 p.m. So there's a ton of different stuff going
on. There's no lack of activities.
There's no lack of explosions and things, you know, going kaboom.
Yeah, I just hope it's not like 105 or 110 or whatever it was last year. I couldn't leave the house, man. I'm too pale.
You know, as long as you're by water, I don't have a problem with that. But if you're not by somewhere where you can get wet, you're going to be miserable because it's going to be humid.
If you're near a parking lot, you're dying.
I did see that there's some weather that's supposed to be coming this week. So I'm not sure which way that's trending, if it's going, you know, later than the 4th or if it's coming earlier in the week. But hopefully we don't get thunderstorms. If not, or if we do, it's going to be really, really humid, and that will be a great time for everybody.
Crazy weather in North Texas. What else?
Crazy weather in North Texas. Cool. Well, if you want more information on that stuff, you can also check out the show notes. We'll have a link there for different activities around the DFW Metroplex. And then we wanted to end the episode on just kind of a mindset and goal tip because for those hustlers out there that are growing a business, you're trying to get better in your careers, better in your relationships, mindset, your life, you name it. We are right here at the end of Q2, so it's a great time to kind of take inventory of what you've done through the first part of the year, kind of, you know, what your results have been, what your actions have been. And I'll be completely honest with you, man. When I looked at my numbers for the first 6 months, I had a little bit of a revelation. You know, I'm doing this 75 hard challenge because I realized where I wanted to be in my life and the actions I was taking on a daily basis didn't match up. And there was a lot of internal, I'll call it lies, where I was telling myself, yeah, I'm still going to be able to get to, you know, this level by doing these things that I'm doing daily. And the reality is that's just not going to happen. That was a naive way to think about it. And I wasn't being honest with myself. And so in looking at my first half of the year, I realized, oh my gosh, though I thought I was doing so much, and maybe I have, it's still nowhere close to the amount of effort I have to put in to get to where I need to go. And it was really just a moment where I was able to take like a ridiculous amount of transparency and look myself in the mirror and be like, dude, if you want to accomplish these things, you have to get real with yourself and you have to make it your absolute mission. Eric Thomas, you know, he likens it to, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, like that's the type of mindset that you need to have. And so that was kind of like a punch in the stomach, like, whoa. I am still not doing anywhere close to enough to get to where I want to be. And so it made me revamp, you know, what I'm looking to accomplish and what it's truly going to take there. And I have to tell you, it's a little intimidating, but it's something that I think will probably be life-changing because it's all a mindset, right? It's what you believe is possible. Right. It's taking the things from your imagination and your vision of where you want to be, building that game plan, and then taking massive action to make it happen. You cannot sit here and lie to yourself and think that it's going to fall into your lap. It will not. People do not get lucky for just purely being lucky. They get lucky because they are taking massive action to give themselves as many opportunities to succeed as possible. And I'm sure that in a lot of different ways out there right now, a lot of people are thinking, oh yeah, I had a good first 6 months. Oh, I'm doing this. You know, I'm the top of my class, I'm the top of my office, I'm the top of whatever the case may be. And that may be fine. That's not to knock, you know, the progress that you made, but are your activities still in line with where you want to be? Are you stretching yourself, or are you allowing yourself to get apathetic because you're comparing yourself to the majority of people who don't have as big a vision as you? And that was something that convicted me. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but it made me start to think differently.
Man, you and I are completely on the same page, man. And that's the thing with like business planning and going back to, I mean, New Year's resolutions, right? Right now is a great time to reset and realign and recommit. And what I've been talking about and what I've been really working on is exactly what you just said, is committing to that massive action that needs to happen in order to move you from where you are right now to where you want to be. And I think the main thing here is we all get these spurts of motivation, right? And we start planning. And then Monday morning comes around and we're groggy and we're dragging. But if you put the goals in place that challenge you, challenge your idea of where you can be, even if you fail those goals, you're still having that best year ever, right? Like we talked about earlier before we jumped on the podcast. But what I really wanted to tell you guys is if you're putting plans in place and detailed plans at that, but then you're not following through on them, you are ruining your personal accountability. You are, and at the end of the day, shooting yourself in the foot and hampering your growth ability. And that's something that Jewel and I have been working on. We're, I mean, at that age where we're 6 years into the biz, and we're getting ourselves and putting ourselves in the position to exponentially grow the business.
Well,
and right now is a great time, right? I mean, we're halfway through the year. It's the end of the fiscal year for some of you that are in that line of work, and now's the time to hit the gas pedal, right?
Well, yeah, and to talk about what we kind of, you know, alluded to earlier, we have it's time to one, like, in order to be able to build anything or grow anything, you have to know exactly where you are. So, like, if you're out there and you're not hitting the goals that you want to hit, or you're just not getting the success that you want, here's what you need to do. You need to take inventory of your life. And I'm talking every aspect. I'm talking about your personal life, your relationships, your health, your spiritual, your mindset, your business, whatever it is. You need to take inventory of those things and look at, what are the things that are helping me get closer to where I need to be? And what are the things that are taking me away from that? And you need to cut the things out that are taking you away from that. And I get it. Sometimes that means cutting off friends. Sometimes that means not going to the bars and drinking every night. Sometimes that means, you know, cutting out different things for the short term that are going to have a tremendous value on the rest of your life. You know, I'm doing this 75 hard challenge by Andy Frischella. And the reason that I'm doing that is because the way that he posed it is, what is 75 days to the rest of your life? You're trying to tell me that you can't become ridiculously disciplined for 75 days, 2.5 months, to change your mindset and the rest of your life. And I thought about that, and it was just, it punched me in the stomach. Like, am I really being honest with myself to say that I want these things if I'm not willing to sacrifice what is needed in order to achieve it? And so I think that you need to take inventory of your life. You need to be ridiculously honest and transparent with yourself, to the point to where it's almost like you're talking crap to yourself, because you give yourself way too many ways out, too many excuses, and too many reasons why you can't achieve something. It's all, you just got to take responsibility. You have to get your head in the right place, and you have to take inventory. And then from there, you have to build that roadmap. And you have to create the discipline to every day, no matter what, go out there and make it happen. You know, we were talking about the hours of work. A lot of people, you know, they're in the 40-hour work weeks, or maybe they're in the 50 to 60-hour work weeks, where they're like, okay, well, I work more than your everyday person. We all go through different seasons of life. For us, Q3 tends to be a much busier season. So we are going into having to kick it into another gear, or maybe even two gears from that. And the reality is, if we don't become ridiculously disciplined on a day-to-day basis, it's never going to happen. And it's going to require us working the 12-hour days, working the 80 to 90 to 100-hour weeks. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in the office that long. That just means when you go home and you have free time, stop binge-watching Netflix. Stop scrolling Instagram for 4 hours. Stop watching and learning and trying to consume all of the information. Take the information, make it actionable, and then go do it. And you fail forward, and you iterate, and you figure out what works best and what doesn't. But you can only really grow and learn by taking action. And so if you're out there listening, be real with yourself. Figure out what it is that you want. Be honest on whether or not your daily activity is getting you closer to that. And if it's not, figure out the game plan of how you need to change that on every level, and go hard. Because especially heading into a recession, you got up another 12, 18, 24 months top before things trend in the wrong direction. I'd much rather you fortify and build up your walls and your stores, and making sure that you're good in that situation, than thinking, oh yeah, that's 18 months off. And then it comes, and you're really hurting because you thought that it was going to be easy.
I think we all just got to get in touch and aligned with our warrior mentality that we're all born with, that we just need to trigger and pull out and rely on, because it's kill or be killed right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's business. That's literally business.
Well,
and so with that all being said, man, I think this is a great show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in for another episode of the Metroplex. We're going to be coming to you every week or every couple of weeks here. We're going to be bringing you all the top news, the latest developments, all the happenings that are happening here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I'm Mark Koretsky. Joel, what do you have to say, man?
Hey, remember, before we let you go, do us a favor. Share, like, comment with your friends if this brings any value, if you think anybody can learn from it. Share it. That is our cost of listening to this podcast. Just share it amongst your friends. And then I want to leave you on this quote has been rattling around in my mind when I realized that I was not taking the necessary action to get to where I need to be. How long are you going to pretend that you don't know what you know? Because if you know what needs to happen and you're not doing it, you are just choosing not to live your fullest life. How bad do you really want it? Hope that leaves you with some food for thought. We'll see you on the next episode.